Blog
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh, Dave, thank you so much. He would like to remain, actually, incognito about this whole scenario, but I have to tell you, that is one of the finer voices in Philadelphia radio, and we've been friends since 1976. And that's how long I've been doing radio. My name is Trish Hennessy. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is the second show of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Got to have the name out there because Hennessy, along with jazz, just goes hand in hand like ice cream in summer, you know? And it's important to get hybrid out there because a lot of folks are wondering, what is the state of jazz these days? And I'm really thinking that the only way to save the genre is to make sure we understand that everybody has to play together. You can have a traditional piece. You can have a contemporary piece. You can have a fusion piece, the right kind of vocals. You blend it all together. It sounds delicious. Let's get started, shall we? Oh, you speak about delicious. What a voice. Joe Williams on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Don't forget the second hour, our guest, Anthony Crawford. Hang with us.
I know my baby is gonna jump and shout. I know my baby girl is gonna jump and shout. When the train rolls up and I come walking out, hold out, baby, I'll be home one day. Hold out, baby, I'll be home one day. Please don't let nobody lead my little girl astray.
Thank you.
we move.
Delightful, delightful. My buddy Elliot Levine and his Urban Groove from the CD The Funk, The Whole Funk, and Nothing But The Funk. Decidedly not real funky, slow funky, if you will, on that particular take on the Flowetry song, Say Yes. Just saw that video last night, so sexy. And so is Elliot's version, which features, by the way, on keyboard, Mr. Elliot Levine from the D.C. area. Thank you very much. Earl Ivey on drums. Now, I've met Kevin once on guitar. Kevin Powell or Poe, I'm not quite sure. P-O-W-E. But he did a stellar job, as did my pit bull friend, Ernest Abdul Rahim on bass. So, so nice. That's from a couple of years ago. Elliot's had other work out in the meantime. You can certainly go to Elliot Levine with one T at the end of Elliot.com and find out for yourself what he's been up to. He's a fascinating human being. Both sides of that brain working just like our friend Tony Bunn from last week. Now, we heard, too, Sashal Vasandani. One of my new favorite guilty pleasures. He's got a new CD out called High Fly, but what we heard was We Move, his second CD, signed to Mac Avenue in 2006. And his parents were listening to a wide variety of jazz when Sashal was growing up. He learned his lesson very well, didn't he? Chicago is where he hails from. He's going to be in Detroit this Labor Day weekend, though, for their jazz festival there. Speaking of Chicago, Joe Williams, the comeback, started off the show. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and that was from 1955's Count Basie Swings. Joe Williams sings. Joe Williams, born in December the 12th, 1918, passed away in March of 1999. Just unbelievable career. He sang with Lionel Hampton's band, sang with Coleman Hawkins, and was in demand in Chicago. But check this out. I just love this little story. Joe Williams was born to a very young mom. Dad was in the picture at that time, but he left shortly after. And his young mom was determined that in Georgia, where they were originally from, she was not going to have any of the stuff that usually happens to young families in this situation. So what she decided to do was she left to work in a rich home in Chicago, saved up enough money so that her mom and her aunt could join her, and they made a comfortable living. And Joe really did well as a teenager, and one of the most prolific careers in jazz. So glad that you're here with us. Anthony Crawford joins us in the second hour of the show, and let's get back to some music, shall we? We dipped into the traditional, and I'm just loving life to be able to mix the contemporary with the traditional these days. This is a new gentleman that is a friend of mine on Facebook. He has been around for a long time. He's celebrating his 80th birthday. An amazing individual, multi-instrumentalist. His name is Ira Sullivan. What you're about to hear is a 10-minute masterpiece called Vento Bravo on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you just heard one of the reasons why I decided to do this show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Groove School is the name of that band. Groove just like a groove, and school, not usually the way it's spelled, S-K-O-O-L. They're in Maryland, they're in D.C., they're in Virginia. Just a cool combination of folks got together, headed up by Christian Big New York de Misiones on bass, and Kevin Grogan on piano, Keith Anderson on that sweet sax, Nick Costa, my buddy, on drums, Mike Gamble on lead guitar. GrooveSchoolBand.com is where you find information on limited edition. What you just heard was Brother to Brother, one of those tracks that gets into your head and does not go away. Christian just came back from the vacation of his lifetime, from what I understand. Hopefully they'll be our guests, a few of them, maybe all of them, here on the show. And that would be a real treat because they have actually been using for a while a term that I gave to Christian a while ago, hybrid jazz. I love it. And it pretty much defines what they do, a little of this, a little of that, and that's very cool. Now, compare that pretty contemporary piece that we just heard next to Ira Sullivan, who started the set, Vento Bravo from Peace from the 70s. IraSullivanJazz.com. Please look this man up. I'm telling you, what a revelation. I don't know how many instruments he plays. He's a five-time Grammy nominee. He has played with Charlie Parker, Art Blakey, Roland Kirk, born May in 1931, so he's 80, still celebrating, thank you very much, and will be doing so at the Labor Day Jazz Festival in Chicago, though he was born in D.C., which piqued my interest. Now, this is one of the cool things about Ira Sullivan, my new Facebook friend. God love you, Ira. When he was in high school, he initiated the history of jazz programs in schools that were adopted and adapted from many other schools after that point. And this is another neat thing. His mom taught him sax. His dad taught him trumpet, from what I understand. Picked up the flute, picked up keyboard, picked up drums. Just crazy talented. And always glad to introduce folks like that to you. And as a matter of fact, I'll introduce another one in case you have never heard this lady. I'm just going to tell you this ahead of time, too. We've got about 20 minutes left for music, and then our wonderful guest, Anthony Crawford, comes our way. I'm going to give you the phone number ahead of time in case you want to call to talk to Anthony, okay? It's 323-843-6172. A lot of folks are chomping at the bit for Anthony because he's one of these new bass guys that just gets it, all of it. 323-843-6172. Let's turn our attention to a vocalist who was born in Baltimore, had a little path taken, Georgia, came from Atlanta a few months ago with her wonderful husband, Dr. Nat Landry. We're talking about Tracy Hamlin. This is from her CD, Better Days, out about a year and a half or so ago. This is a selection called Free. Hope you enjoy it. She's one of the better vocalists on this planet. Check her out on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Mesmerized by your vibe. Whoa. Mercy sakes alive, good buddy. Woo! Oco Girl in Baltimore, Corinthia Cromwell, a.k.a. Chrissy, from her brand new Peace of Mind Outside the Lines CD with Cyrus Chestnut on piano and Chrissy doing that sax so well. Oh, my. Nature Boy, as you have not heard it, on a saxophone like that from a female who knows her way around that particular instrument. Matter of fact, I had a CD release party some weeks ago, and Kirk Whalum thought so much of Chrissy that he decided to join the festivities, and it was just an amazing night at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, right around the corner from where I live. It was wonderful. Mo Horns was there, the Holy Horns were backing up everybody on stage. It was just really amazing, and Chrissy's going to do real well. Half of that particular CD is jazz. Half of it is gospel jazz. So you can imagine the tasty little treats that you're going to hear when you hear that, all of it, because there's quite a few tracks on there too. Corinthia Cromwell and the Evolution Band. And you can go to corinthiacromwell.com and find out more information, if you will. You need to do that as well to find out about Luis Munoz from his Invisible CD. What a glorious piece that was, Diama y Sombra. And Luis is one of those wonderful visionaries from Costa Rica who is so kind in spirit, so generous to musicians. It's just a pleasure from what I hear from everybody who has worked around him, how wonderful he is. This CD is just, it's more than I can say. And I'm a little emotional right now because of news that Luis passed on along his Facebook page. Apparently, within the past 24 hours or so, the premier composer, beloved composer Fidel Gamboa, at the age of 50, passed away in Costa Rica. And it took so many by surprise. A lot of folks are in mourning. And our strong sympathy and love to the folks in Costa Rica and to Fidel's family for losing him at such a tender age. Oh, my. Just makes that song that you heard all the more poignant. You should know, too, that Luis is going to be part of a wonderful benefit for famine relief in East Africa. It's going to be in the Santa Barbara region on Tuesday the 6th. Please go to luismunoz.com, and I believe that's correct. If you're on Facebook, please look him up and friend him. It's Luismunoz. He is a wonderful, wonderful person who has the strong sense of what I'm feeling on the show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. One of the other reasons why I put this show together, just to get his music out. He needs to be heard. Let's do this, shall we? We're going to tell you about the guest call-in line, 323-843-6172. We are going to dip down into what we have here. Got a couple of songs by our guest on the way. Matter of fact, he's probably holding now. Anthony Crawford is just so amazing. When I first heard him, I thought, somebody's jacking this tape up. Somebody's doctoring this. I'm sorry. Because nobody plays like this, but they do. Trust me. His CD is fabulous. We're going to tell you all about it. First, we're going to dip into some music and see if he's on the horn with us. This is Satisfied by Anthony Crawford from Urban Jazz on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Do not adjust your dial. Oh, what you just heard was the real deal. Amen. Can I get a hallelujah? Anthony Crawford. Son, you are just cooking. It is so cool to have you here. That was not jacked up at all, was it?
No, it wasn't jacked up. I've never heard that term used before until you started using it, so no, it wasn't jacked up.
Well, look, honestly, the way you play that instrument, it's as though it has a life that no one has ever heard a bass have before. How did you get involved with that instrument and be able to master it at such a young age?
Well, the story is kind of funny how I started playing the bass. I started playing when I was 12. Actually, I started off playing the drums when I was, 2 years old because my father was.
I heard.
Yeah, so my father was a musician, so I started playing drums. Then I went to guitar. Then I started playing the keyboards, and so one day my dad was, it was like a school night. I was real young in elementary school or something like that, and he was about to go to the studio to pick up some papers or something like that.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I wanted to go. So I said, yeah, I want to go to the studio with you. And so he already knew that I was like a bad kid because whenever I went to the studio, I always touched stuff. I used to always turn up the consoles and just mess up things. So when we got to the studio, before we got out the car, he said, Anthony, before we go in here, don't touch nothing. Don't touch nothing. Just sit down. Don't touch nothing. So when we went in the studio, it was a bass laying in the corner. So I'm like, oh, I ain't gonna listen to you. I'm gonna touch it anyway. So when he went to the other room, I started playing the bass. And actually, when I started playing the bass, I something in me just kind of felt connected to the bass. So I instantly knew that I was going to be playing it for the rest of my life. So,
amazing.
And I was 12 years old. So actually, when I got home that night, I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I know what I want to be when I grow up. She was like, what? I said, I want to be a professional bass player. She was like, okay, go to bed.
I love that.
So that's how I started playing the bass. I started playing the bass by being hard-headed to my parents.
Wow.
And I never looked back since, and I stopped playing the drums, I stopped playing the keys and all this stuff, and I just put all my focus on the bass.
That's amazing.
Everything came natural.
You are not lying when you say that you were starting to play drums when you were 2 years old.
Yeah, I got pictures on Facebook with me, like, in my diapers with drumsticks.
And of course, it would be the case. We even had it on the events page talking about you guesting here on the show. Mm. But my gosh, you almost had no choice because your dad was not only involved in music. He is the esteemed funk drummer Hubert H. Baum Crawford, who has played with James Brown, The Barcays, Mother's Finest. What am I leaving out?
From Grand Funk. He played with a lot of people. Actually, he just got off the road with Cyndi Lauper. My dad is doing a lot of stuff, and he's been doing it since I was young, and he's still in it. He's still doing it, and he's taught me a lot. My dad is probably my best music teacher because he taught me everything from like groove point of view. Just a lot of fundamental things about bass that you that I might not would have probably never learned because my dad is a drummer and he's more rooted in playing drums. And then, the bass has to learn with the drums. So me growing up in a household with a funk, drummer that's playing with all these people, that was a great advantage to me.
Oh, yeah. And was he always real? I mean, I know that he said to you, don't touch anything when you come in here. But he was probably real lenient and probably astounded and delighted that you wanted to do music because you saw him do it.
When my dad went to gigs, I used to go to his gigs. I was probably like 10 years old. They used to, just let me in a club. I was, the youngest one in a club. And I used to sit beside the stage. while he was playing and just, like, watch him play the whole show and just, you know, just, like, picture me playing drums instead of him. I used to do that, you know, just about a lot of his concerts, you know.
I love that.
And,
I love that. And Mom said that was okay? I mean, it was okay with her?
She didn't care. You know, my mom didn't care. As long as I was in school next day, and they used to, you know, my dad used to tell me not to go sometime because I used to be home, like, you know, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't want to get back up and go to school the next day.
Right.
Yeah, so I had that focus, you know.
And I have to throw in, too, I just thought this was the coolest thing. Your uncle is
mm-hmm.
sax great Hank Crawford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hank Crawford.
Gosh.
And, yeah, I know that's a trip, too. And I really didn't know who he was until I got older. You know, when I got, like, in my 20s, that's when I really, you know, found out who he really was. Because, you know, when the family come together and stuff like that, you know, they don't really talk about music and stuff. You know, there's a lot of musicians in my family and, you know, singers. You know, when we come together, we just come together as a family. But, you know, behind the scenes, it's like everybody's kind of doing their own thing, too, you know.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, he's in my family.
And where is the family from? Is you're living in L.A. now, but where is your hometown?
My hometown is Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no wonder.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been in L.A. for like three and a half years now.
Oh, well, you know what? I need to hook you up with Kirk Whalum because that's where he's living now, and he's doing so.
Oh, I know
so...
Kirk Whalum.
Okay.
That's my roadie. Me and him, we did a couple of projects together. We did a movie together and a couple of shows. And actually, you know what? You know, you need to call him or tell him to call me anyway because I need to put him on this next project that I'm working on.
Oh, sure. Honestly, yeah. I'm going to be hopefully talking to him or his road manager in the next couple of days because I think he's doing a gig here in D.C. And, my gosh, this turf for him in Baltimore, Maryland, is his second home because he knows that whenever he comes here, he gets love in overdrive, and it's going to be the same thing with you. Do you think you'll ever come to Baltimore maybe in 2012?
I am working on it. I am really working very, very hard on booking outside shows because I get a lot of requests to come to different cities. So I'm working on, you know, making connections and making the right relationships, you know, to bring me out to do these, you know, festivals and do these venues.
And let's tell folks, too, this just tripped me out reading this about you, Anthony. Oh, my gosh. Anthony Crawford is our guest here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and just chomping at the bit, wanting to ask some questions. Here you were. So you're playing drums at 2, you're at your dad's gigs, and gosh knows the energy that you sucked up like a vacuum cleaner when you were at those gigs. 12, you're starting to play bass. And then you had a particular individual turn you around. Tell people about that because I saw it on your website. I saw this gentleman earlier in the year at Burke's Jazz Festival, and I just about fell off of my chair. Victor Wooten?
I think Victor Wooten.
you know what?
I
swear to you, Anthony, after I saw him, I went back to the hotel room because there was nobody who was going to top that.
Wow, that's the same thing I thought. I was turned on to Victor Wooten probably back in like 93 when he was with the Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, you know, before
yes.
he went solo. And I knew he was a bad bass player then because my dad actually taped some stuff off the beat. It was BET Jazz Central used to come on back then, and then all these jazz greats used to come on. But that's how I found out about Victor Wooten. I was like, that bass player is bad. And then, so he went solo 3 years later, like in 96, and he 95 or something, and he brought out that solo record. And when he A Show of Hands. And
yes.
that record right there, when I got that record, I was like, okay, I'm starting from scratch. I'm like, I'm going to disregard everything that I've learned up until now. I'm going to start all over. And I used to sit in my room like 8 hours a day and learn that whole CD. I used to learn like all those songs.
Oh, my gosh.
Back then, we didn't have YouTube and all that stuff, so I couldn't like go on the internet. And actually, I'm kind of glad that I didn't do that because it made me use my ears. You know what I mean? So I used to like just sit in my room all day long, like, even on the weekend, just all day, and just figure out how was he doing all this stuff. And I did it and I did it until I just started getting comfortable with it. And in the process of me doing it, I started to kind of find my own sound too. I was like, wow, I'm like, I really like doing this kind of stuff. So I'm starting to find myself as well, you know, because that's what my dad told me. He said, if you want to learn how to play music, listen to someone that you admire, listen to the people that you admire, and just play it your own way, you know. And so that's what I was doing with Victor, and Victor pretty much just changed my whole concept around about, you know, playing the bass, you know, because I admire what he did so much. And I'm pretty sure there's hundreds and hundreds of other bass players out there that can say the same thing. Big boom changed my life.
Well, and you know what is so cool about that is that there was an interview with him on a radio station before he did this astounding performance. And, of course, I have to say that it was the last performance, and then he was off the road to see his family in Nashville for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
he put his heart and soul into it. But one of the great things he said on the interview was that his mom always told him, there are always going to be better people than you, but there is no one better than you. And by the same hand, she said, don't ever think that you're better than anybody else. It's just that you have a certain gift that nobody else has. And I just love that. If everybody learned that at an early age, the world would be such a better place.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is. His mom used to always, from what I like heard and read and stuff like that, his mom used to always speak all kinds of positive stuff to him and his brothers, because his whole family is just ridiculously bad. His whole family is bad, like bad musicians. His whole family is just ridiculous. And Vic, you know, Vic is like pretty much like the star of the family. He's the star of the family. He's just, oh my God. So yeah, I mean, those are powerful words. Let me tell you another funny story too.
Yeah.
I never told you this, but I actually met Victor Wooten a couple of years ago in Santa Monica. We did this jam session. We was at a club out here, and you know, I was starstruck when he walked in the club. I was playing it cool, like, yeah, hey, what's up, Victor? So me and Victor got to talking, and we actually went out to eat. We was like joking at the table, and I had Victor on the table rolling, laughing. He was just like just laughing, but I never told Victor how much, like, I never really just sat down and just really just told him, man, you really, really, truly changed my life as far as like playing bass, you know. You know, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a chance to tell him that again, you know. But I was like starstruck.
You know what? I got to tell you something. In the past 24 hours, and I know he doesn't come to Facebook all the time, but I wrote to him and I told him. I said to him, Anthony Crawford's going to be on the show, and I just want you to understand how important you were, how instrumental you were in him catching fire. So he'll write back eventually, or he'll write to you.
Wow, that'll be crazy if you do, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome if you do. But,
people have to know while they're living how much they impacted other people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, and I'm saying, and there's people that's pretty much telling me the same thing as well. You know, people are coming to me now and sending me emails of how much I'm inspiring them as well. And I love communicating, you know, with people, and they're telling me that I'm helping them, because now I always write them back. And I was like, well, that's why we're here. We're here to help other people as well, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, no wonder they're writing to you. Holy cow. I mean, you pretty much came out of the chute. You started young. And here is the scenario that I love. Here's 2000 Democratic National Convention. You're playing for Bill Clinton. Is that right?
Yeah. I was playing for Bill Clinton. He was actually supposed to stay with my band because, you know, he plays saxophone. And so we were hoping that he was going to play. but he didn't even play. You know, I guess he was busy, whatever, you know, the Democratic Convention. But, yeah, but we played for him, you know. We played they flew our band out here from Memphis. And actually, when I came out here, that was back in 2000, when I came out here to L.A. for the first time for the Democratic Convention,
yeah,
I said to myself, I want to move out to L.A. I was like, I love L.A. I was saying this to myself, and I said, like, 8 years later, I finally made it.
You yeah, sure that. Did, and it's just the beginning. Yeah. And I'm kind of scared because if you're this good now, what are you going to be like by the time you're 40?
Man, I don't know. Hopefully, I'll be better.
Oh no,
I'll be better.
You will. And you said everything that folks needed to know. You just said that you spent 8 hours trying to learn what Victor did on that CD. And for you to put that much time in, you come prepared. You really do. And that's going to mean everything. We were just talking about this the other day, one of my great friends, and he asked me how the bass playing was about one guy that we know in comparison to another. And I said, well, he's not as good, but he's just so prepared and has such a wonderful attitude. Now, with you, you're already beyond good. You're astounding.
Wow, thanks.
And you're prepared, and you've got a good attitude. So, honey,
thanks.
Sky's the limit.
Thanks. Yeah, my dad told me that. My dad said your attitude would take you way farther than your talent. He put it in perspective as this. He said, okay, if you have a gig, and if you got this person over here that they can play the part, but his attitude is terrible, but you got the person over here, you know, that pretty much can't play the part as good, but, you know, he's workable. You can teach him, and his attitude is good. Which one would you hire? You know, hire the person that's teachable. You know?
That's right. That's right. And actually, you know, you want to be with people, and, you know, one of the things that I noticed, it was so adorable. When I saw one of your videos, actually, it was for Windy Days, I guess, because I've seen a couple. The guys that are playing with you look like they're thrilled to be playing with you.
They look like they're thrilled.
They look like they're so happy to be playing with Anthony Crawford. It's like one of them has a moment. I thought he was going to be elevated, like... he looks like he was casting his eyes toward heaven, like, I can't even believe that I'm here and I'm playing with him.
Wow, those are my good friends. They're all my good friends, man. I enjoy playing with those people. I work with a lot of people. People that work with me always seem to have fun, though. Like, I bring a good energy to people that I work with, you know.
I'll bet.
And then, like, and those people that's playing with me on that video, one, the drummer... was playing with me on my Play For Me promo video, and the keyboard player, I play with him at church, and the other synth bass player, I play with him sometime, and that horn player, he plays a lot. I mean, he tours with, you know, like Lady Gaga and a lot of other people. I mean, they're real, you know, seasoned musicians.
Wow.
So I'm glad they actually helped me out with it, you know, so.
Well, they see. I mean, the buzz about you is that I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to catch on to your coattails now because you've already blown up, but it's just the beginning, and people understand, oh, got to run with Anthony Crawford now.
Got to run. Man. Wow, man, that's amazing. That blows me away.
I can tell, and that's so cool because you're never going to be the kind of person who gets – jaded about the fact that people respond to you the way that they do, and you love the fact that you've got a gift. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's a gift, you know. It's a gift, you know. And I want to share it with the world, you know. And I want to help other people find themselves. I want to help other people find their gifts, you know, the way they helped me find mine. You know what I mean?
Right.
So. That's to me, that's what it's all about, you know, helping people, you know, putting out good music and letting people know, hey, you can do this too. You know, you, whatever it is that you want to do within yourself, you can find it and you can achieve it and you can do it also, you know.
Well, did the Democratic National Convention gig get you work with Shalamar and Howard Hewitt? How did that come into being?
Well, actually, those gigs really didn't have anything to do with each other. Me doing a National Democratic Convention was I was I was playing with actually was my first band that I joined, and we were trying to make a come up, but the band didn't work. The band didn't work out, but in the process of us having that band, we played for the president, so that was good right there. But then after that, we kind of broke up and stuff. So I wanted to do other things, and as a result, that's how I started playing with Howard Hewitt and Shalamar and Glenn Jones, Phil Perry, Kirk Whalum, just from connections and just knowing different people,
Yeah. And and didn't you also play with Frank McComb?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I'm still playing with him. Frank is such a busy guy. Frank has literally 100 bands all over the world because he's everywhere. Frank, I call to Frank, oh, I'm in Germany. Oh, I'm in Greece. Oh, I'm in Japan. Frank, sit down somewhere.
Right.
He said, sit down. No, but I got a lot of respect for Frank because Frank, to me, he's really inspired me as well as far as my business aspect of me marketing myself and promoting myself, because Frank is an independent artist and he does everything himself, and I have so much respect for this guy, because this guy, he believes hard in what he does. So Frank is pretty much kind of helping me out as well. I'm working with this guy, and me playing with him is helping me out a lot too, because Frank is a world-class musician, vocalist, arranger, piano player, and every gig that I do with him is something different. It's a different experience, and sometimes I'm literally starstruck when I'm on stage with him as well, because I was actually a fan of Frank. I was actually a fan of Frank McComb before I even met him. So when Frank got in touch with me, I already knew who he was. I'm like,
oh,
man,
yeah,
you are Frank McComb. I know who you are. Hey, this is Frank McComb. I play piano. I know who you are. I know who you are.
Oh, my gosh. He probably thought, Lord, I have a live wire on the other end of this phone.
Man, you were almost thinking it's a prank or something. Like, I'm like, man, I know exactly who you are. Yes, I will work with you. You don't have to ask me twice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
and you're still working with Jeff Lorber, right?
Yes, I'm doing gigs with him. I'm actually subbing a lot for his bass player, Jimmy Haslip. Jimmy Haslip is the bass player from the band The Yellow Jackets. Very popular, and they were a big influence as well. So whenever Jimmy can't make it, that's when Jeff will call me. And I've done a few shows with him, and I think, we have some more stuff coming up, And so that right there is blowing me away as well, that I'm subbing for another influence that inspired me on bass. I'm working hand, side by side with Jimmy Haslip, So,
well,
I
have to tell you, Anthony, that these guys are really smart, because it's not only that you are wildly talented, but speaking from a female point of view, you're not bad to look at either.
You said I'm not bad to look at. I hope I'm not bad.
It is quite the opposite. So these guys are really smart, because a lot of these females come to these events, and a lot of females come with other females, and they go, oh, mm-hmm. my God, look at the bass player.
I've seen it all. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of more women like the jazz scene, I guess, because when I do these shuffles, it be more women, than guys, and they be partying too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are, and, well, women are sort of like what men used to be, and the roles are sort of reversing a little, because women are really bold, and I guess that you have found that out in your capacity on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, women are bold, It's like sometimes it makes the guys don't even know what to do. Like, if a woman is bold and the guy's like, I don't even know what I should say. This, she's saying the lines I should be saying. I should be coming to her like this.
Exactly. And I've seen it. I mean, one of the things that the women in jazz circles, not only here but all over, when we go to these different festivals, we always say, you know what? Let's make sure that these guys know that we are not here for the other reasons that those ladies are here, okay?
Oh,
my God.
Wow, I never really looked at it like that, but that's so true, though, huh?
Oh, listen, I just saw it firsthand at Burke's. It was so funny because there was George Duke and Al Jarreau after the show, and we were sort of hanging with them after the show, and Al heard a name, and he went, "What?" And he put his head down. He heard a woman's name, and he thought it was the woman who was trying to get to him the night before. Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's crazy.
Jazz stalkers.
Yes. Stalkers. And Al, he's a singer, so I know you probably have all kinds of probably stalker situations going on, but he's a singer.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, tell me this. What were the circumstances behind how the CD came about? How did that go down?
That CD has been a vision of mine since I was 15. Like ever since I was a teenager, I always wanted to do a solo jazz CD.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on that CD technically ever since 2000, and I just put it out, not too long ago. But the reason why is because at first when I started working on the CD, I was doing a lot of production myself, and I really wasn't happy with it and everything. So I wanted to make sure everything was right when I brought it out. And then I started bringing in, more producers and collaborating with more people. So it happened over technically like a 10-year span. And because I just wanted to make sure, this is how much I believe in my vision. I don't want to rush it. When it hits, I want it to be right. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So hopefully the next CD is not going to take 10 years. but now I got the momentum going. I got the rhythm going now. So now I'm working on the next project right now. So it's coming along great. I'm going to have, guests on it, a lot of guests. Like I said, I'm going to try to get Kirk on this. Because I've been meaning to ask him for a while anyway. And, I'm working with great, great musicians, great songwriters. And so that's pretty much how it came about. And I always had this vision that I was like, wow, I wonder how would a bass solo record sound if I did a hip-hop kind of bass solo record, And I always had that vision. So I finally did it, and I was happy with it. And then when I put it out, a lot of other people were happy with it too. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to do another one now, because this right here, all I needed to know,
That's the thing. You always have to pay attention to what you want to do as opposed to what other people say that you're supposed to do,
Definitely. It was a lot of people that were saying, no. Then I was like, well, I appreciate honest opinions, but I know my focus and I know my dream.
Right.
I know my dream. And the way I look at it, all the great minds out here, look at how many times, like Einstein failed at certain things, I read stuff about him where I think he worked on a light bulb. I think he failed, I don't know if this is correct, but he failed like 1,000 times before he really got it right, And
yep.
And it's the thing, it's all about your vision. It's you're an innovator, you're a creator, everybody, people that see new things, sometimes people, don't accept it because it's something that they're not used to, but if you believe in what you're doing and it's good, people will gravitate towards it because there are people out there that appreciate creativity,
Oh, my gosh, are there ever. People are so hungry for it because they've heard the same old for so long.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I am. I'm a creator.
You are. And I'm chomping at the bit. I was going to save this until the end, but could we play Windy Days by you right now?
You can play whatever you want to play, Trish. You can play whatever you want to play.
God bless you, Anthony. I wanted to make sure that we did this so that folks, in the deep part of the passion of this conversation could get it. This is something so cool, and if I'm going to be stopped in my tracks, and I've heard a lot, I love it when somebody takes me by surprise, as you did, and I heard Windy Days, and I went, get out of town.
Oh, wow.
It was
Wow, thank you. Believe it or not, I wrote that song in 2002.
Really?
I wrote it. I recorded that song in 2002. I put it out, a few months ago. But that song was recorded. I recorded that song when I was like 20 years old.
Oh my gosh!
So 10 years. That song is 10 years old. But I just put it out because I just wanted to make sure everything was right before I actually put out this record. You know.
And you see how fresh. How fresh it is, because your vision is so solid. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. I'm just going to shut the heck up and play the song.
Play it, Trish.
Windy Days by Anthony Crawford from Urban Jazz on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call bass ballet. There's a dance to that. There's a certain kind of absolute poetry to that sound. Anthony Crawford, Windy Days from Urban Jazz on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. That was, I love that piece, Anthony.
Thank you so much. I love it, too. I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with it. You know what? While we're on that song, the guy that really, really helped me out with this song is Marquis Walker. Marquis Walker is a good friend of mine out of Memphis, Tennessee. He's probably like, I think he's like a three-time Grammy-nominated producer. And
wow.
that guy is a phenomenal songwriter, producer, engineer, like everything. Keyboard, he really played keys, and he did all the keyboard work on that song and the drum programming. So that guy really, Marquis Walker, brought this song to life. He helped me out with this song a whole lot. And
it captures a moment. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks so much, Trish.
And speaking of moments, you had sent me, and I had seen this before, but there was an interesting and a very sweet video behind Windy Days.
Uh-huh.
That gal who was your love interest in the video was a riot.
She was a riot.
she was so funny because I saw the behind the scenes shot.
Oh, yeah.
And she was just making sure that you knew how to romance her.
I made it very clear. Look,
what did
Fred,
you?
What I told her, I was like, look, I don't do stuff like this. I don't be taking girls to picnics and all this stuff. I'm like, you got to tell me what to do.
She was so funny, and it came out so well because I love – The interaction, you know, you're in your kitchen and you're looking in the refrigerator and you're talking on the phone to her and you set up the whole thing with the picnic outside and meanwhile you're playing with your guys. I love that little video.
And I want to give it up for the people that helped me get that video done. Gary King and this guy named Kimo Colony. And so they are the people that helped produced that video. They wrote the script. They came up with the idea. They were pretty much the brains. I just pretty much did whatever they told me to do. So Jerry King and Kimo Colony, they brought their video together. You know, they brought it together.
It worked just right for that song. It really did. And we mentioned this. I called you on my cell phone while the song was playing. I'm going to make sure that folks know because this is only the second show for what we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to make sure folks know it's okay to call 323-843-6172. It's 323-843-6172 and just say that you want to talk to the show host. And if you have any questions for Anthony Crawford, I'm sure that he'd be happy to answer. Gulp, gulp, gulp.
Yeah, I sure will be happy to answer. And then also, you mind if I say something real quick?
Please do.
Oh, okay, yeah. And feel free to go to my website as well, anthonycrawfordband.com. And you can check out a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, on my website. I post a lot of, you know, press stuff that comes out, shows, you know, things I have coming up. So be sure to, you know, go to the website, anthonycrawfordband.com.
And, Anthony, what would you like to see happen if you had a time span? You know, I'm a big devotee of The Secret, so I believe in all this, this positive planning and making wish boards and dream boards and such. But what would you like to see have happen to your career in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm a big fan of The Secret, too, and I do this all the time. When I wake up, I always look at myself in the mirror, and I always tell myself where I am and where I'm going to be, and I speak as though it's already happened. You know,
I tell myself
I am my biggest goal, one of my biggest goals is to make a living playing my own music, you know, doing different venues and festivals and playing my own music and, you know, helping people and inspiring people, and that's my dream. So I always look at myself and say, Anthony, you are making a living playing your own music. You are inspiring people. You are helping people. You're a successful artist. Your dream is reality, you know, and I'm excited about it. And I see it. People like you are helping me see this reality more and more, you know, because you all are helping get the word out. And it inspires me to work harder, you know, and to stay focused. So where I see myself in the next few years is me making a full-time living, you know, playing my own music, writing my own music, and performing, you know, and inspiring people, you know, pretty much, you know, the way Victor Wooten has helped me and is steady helping other people, and, you know, how he's doing his thing and he's steady moving up and up. I mean, I really respect that and I admired it, and I want to not per se follow his footsteps, but he's a big inspiration as to why I see myself moving in the direction that I'm moving in, because I didn't, you know, it's just how much he has inspired me. You know, he's not just musically, but like the business aspect as well, because the things that I see him doing, you know, when you go to his website, he has lessons on his website and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, wow, this, I really, really admire this. I want to do this kind of stuff too.
Right. And you know, one of the other cool things about Victor is, and I was so taken with this, he's so courageous. He is in your face spiritually. He makes no bones about the fact that he is a believer. And the reason why he has this gift is because he's supposed to share it. It's a divine plan for him to share the gift. And when he starts talking about it, it blows your mind, because there's nobody who's more real or more charming than he when he talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes his music all the more on fire. It spins your head.
It's an experience. I mean, trust me. I mean, like I said, at an early age, when I was, you know, 15, 16, I was already blown away. And he changed my life just from the first record that he ever put out. He changed, pretty much just kind of changed my whole concept. And I can only imagine now, you know, 15 years later, where he is. Because if he had that much power then, you know, with the spirituality in his music, you know, I can only imagine the level that he's at now, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a follower of him, so I see him growing. I see all this stuff, you know. I see all this stuff, you know, and it's amazing to me. And I thank God for people like him, to help pass the torch to other people and help other people find their own thing. And in the process, he's helped me. And I see the wheel turning. Like, I see people are like, you know, people are contacting me and telling me the same thing that I would tell Vic, you know. People are contacting me, like, all the time, you know, telling me, hey, Anthony, you were inspiring me. I'm like, well, this is why I'm here. I'm here to inspire you, you know.
Absolutely. So. And actually, Anthony, I just really do envision you working a lot with Kirk, because what Kirk Whalum is doing in the way of mentorship, in the way of making people understand that the history of music in Memphis there, he is just so amazing. You and he would be so good ongoing in projects, because I would imagine he just loves the fact that you're coming from the place where you come from, and you know where he's coming from. So together, you'd be able to do some pretty formidable things.
Yeah, Kirk is like a father. Anybody that knows Kirk, I mean, you might not even have to even know Kirk personally, but Kirk, he's like a father figure. I was over his house one time. We were working on the movie, and my friend came over to pick me up because he dropped me off. And so when my friend came over to pick me up after the session, I said, hey, man, you want to come in to meet Kirk? And he was like, yeah. So he came in, met him. And so they got to talking. So he was telling Kirk that he was about to get ready to go see his son, because his son was in the hospital, I think, for like an asthma attack or something.
Oh.
And Kirk just stopped everything that he was doing and just started praying for his son, like right then and there. And then, when we went to go pick up his son, and, you know, his son was doing better and fine and stuff, but Kirk is – Kirk is like a father figure to like anybody, you know.
He's pretty real. We were there when he did the taping for the Gospel According to Jazz Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you know how on fire he gets, because he's just in his father's footsteps. I mean, he's ordained now. Kirk is a bona fide minister. So for him to speak as strongly as he does, and he doesn't mince words. And then when he plays, it's like you. You are, you know, you've done a lot so far, and you're going to do a whole lot more. But the best thing that you can do is be honest to yourself and honest to the people around you, because that translates to the music.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, there's mm-hmm. nothing worse than hearing somebody who's just going through the motions. Oh, oh!
Just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I look at it from a spiritual point of view as well, you know. You know, I want whatever I put out there in the universe, and whatever I put out there in the world, you know, I want it to hit the way that I feel it in my heart. You know, I feel love in my heart. So when people hear it, or people talk to me, or whatever, you know, whatever the case, any kind of interaction that I put out, I want people to feel, you know, love. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and that's certainly a part of what you've learned with the secret, because you know, you find out that there is no such thing as competition. You've got to take that out of your vocabulary and not even
mm-hmm.
think about it, because you've got your gift. And what you're doing exactly, visualize that you already have received what you're dreaming of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially, it's really helpful, too, when you have, like when you wake up in the morning, I have a check for $1 million above my head.
Oh, that'll give you something to smile at. That'll give you something to smile at every morning. That's one good way to wake up, huh? $1 million check right there. I'm getting up.
Exactly. It's big enough where you can see it, you know. You're going, mm-hmm. okay, guess I know what to do today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah,
how is your dad feeling about what you're doing? Is he ecstatic?
My dad texted me a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Anthony, I just want to let you know I love you and I'm proud of you."
Aww.
You know, he said, I have a sister as well. Her name is Ashley Crawford, and she's a musician as well. She's younger. She's, you know, she just graduated TSU in Nashville.
Yes.
Full scholarship in music. Graduated top of her class, and they flew her to Italy to take master classes in Italy, and they flew her to New York. She took master classes in New York. They were just pretty much just paying her to play at their school. You know, she's a phenomenal, you know, I think flutist, whatever you call
it. I know. It's a little tricky, isn't it? She plays the flute.
She plays the flute. But my sister was raised in the house with me and my dad, you know. And she picked up on music, and she just went another route with it. You know, my dad texted me. He said, "I'm proud of you and my sister's name is Ashley." So he said, "I'm proud of you and Ashley." You know, because me and Ashley are my dad's only kids. So I know that really, really makes my dad feel good to know that all his kids are doing music and they're really pursuing it. You know,
that's amazing, Ashley. Gosh, that is quite a coup. So how old is she, Anthony?
Actually, she just had a birthday. She's probably 21, 22 now.
Oh, my gosh. She was she was at the head of her class, and they thought so much of her, they flew her to New York to take master classes.
And when she auditioned as a freshman, and when she auditioned, they put her in second chair flute when she auditioned for the first time. So she bypassed all the other stuff and went straight to, like, second chair. She was up there with, like, the seniors.
Wow. Did she start taking lessons early on, or she just gravitated to the flute, or what?
She just gravitated towards it. I mean, I'm self-taught, you know, sort of, like, I never had, like, a, you know, teacher or anything. Everything I've learned, you know, by my ear, listening and picking up from other people. My sister is self-taught as well, you know, but it's automatically in us because of my father, you know. you know, we was raised in a house where there was nothing but music going on, so we gravitated towards it, you know.
Yeah, and it, what's so funny is that here's your dad into rock and funk, and she's playing the flute.
Yeah, she's playing, I mean, classical, jazz, all of that stuff. I'm playing, you know, my thing, you know, my urban jazz. So it's like we pretty much just kind of just took the torch and just went our own route with it. And that's what my father would have wanted anyway. He wouldn't want us, per se, following his steps. He would want us to find our own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My dad is a rock funk drummer, you know, and I play a lot of funk and rock too, but I've been putting out a lot of, you know, jazz and contemporary music, and my sister is something totally different. You know, she's classical and jazz and, you know, whatever, you know, but she's doing her thing, so.
Well, does she have a website as well? If anybody wants to, they can support your sister in whatever endeavor
she
has.
She has a Facebook page. She doesn't have a website, but
okay.
Her name is Ashley Crawford. Actually, you know, it's a few Ashley Crawfords. She's on my website.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Ashley Crawfords out there, but she's on my website. So if you go to anthonycrawfordband.com, I have my sister on my website.
Well, you just tell her that we send her a whole lot of love and good energy, and she's just going to do well because she got one of the biggest boosts ever, and the sky's the limit for her, too.
Mm-hmm. The sky is the limit.
That's awesome. Well, good. I'm so glad that you could take as much time as you did. God bless you, Anthony Crawford.
God bless you too, Trish. I mean, I really appreciate you for giving me this opportunity, you know, because, you know, you're helping me get the word out, and I really appreciate you a whole lot. I mean, I thank you so much. I love you, and I thank you so much, Trish.
Oh, God, listen, it's what we're supposed to do, because one hand takes another, and as long as I know, and I know that you do, you love what you're doing. You love the jazz element in your music, and you're breathing new life into a genre that really needs to have new life breathed into it. We need to make sure that we pay attention to what happened in the past. We need to focus on what's happening right now, and we need to look toward tomorrow to make sure that jazz is still here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're doing your part.
It's going to be here. Jazz,
definitely.
Jazz is one of those, you know, jazz is a style of music. It's not going nowhere. It's going to be different forms of jazz and stuff like that. Jazz is constantly evolving. Music is always evolving. You know, music is always, you know, changing, you know, evolving, you know. But I think that the vision that I have for this genre that I'm doing, you know, I think it's a pretty good concept. Again, this is what I like to do as well. I mean, I've always had this vision, you know. So now it's getting out, and I'm glad that I'm doing this, you know.
Well, we all are, and we can buy your music at your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. You can buy it on my website. You can buy it off iTunes. It's pretty, you know, it's on all the major online stores, Amazon.
Okay.
You know, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you know, sometimes I put links on my Facebook page of, you know, my music. You go to Anthony Crawford Musician page or on Facebook. I'm on MySpace, you know, Twitter, things like that. But I'm not hard to find. You know, just the website. Google Anthony Crawford. And Google my name, Anthony Crawford, Urban Jazz. And, you know, my music will pop up, you know.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, we're going to let you go. And as we're letting you go, I'm just going to make sure that for folks who didn't hear it the first time around, if they joined us late, can hear another track from Urban Jazz, because this is so, so sweet. Oh, my gosh. Sort of like a theme song. Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Have a wonderful day and enjoy your day.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Trish. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony, and we'll talk to you down the road. I promise we'll have a follow-up call.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
Okay.
And thank you to everybody who joined us today, and here is what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that you hear this wonderful song from Anthony Crawford's Urban Jazz CD called Satisfied. Have a wonderful day. Next time around, we'll talk to Slim Man on Thursday right here on Hybrid Jazz. I'm Trish Hennessy. God bless.